We began, I guess, a week ago, maybe on Sunday morning. We preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, looking at this word great in the book of Nehemiah. The theme and the presidential campaign was Make America Great Again, and I began to think about that, and then I started looking at the word great in the Bible, and it was over 900 times in the Bible, and I figured we might be here a little bit too long covering it in the whole Bible, but I kind of settled in on the word great in the book of Nehemiah. Shared some verses with you, just kind of give you an overview of the message. But what we looked at in chapter 1 was a great need. They were in great distress and affliction. And then what we looked at in chapter number 1 as well was there's a great God in heaven that has power to meet the great need. America has a great need, but thank God there's a God in heaven that can meet that need. Now today I want to read from chapter 4, and then I want to preach today on the words great indignation. It's amazing to me. I mean, you don't even have to try to make this fit what's going on in our country today. I'm telling you, there are some people in our country that are very upset right now. And it has the capacity, you know, if you go home and you look at your hot water heater, unless you got one of those tankless heaters, and I think they're really neat, but if you've got a regular hot water heater, that thing's got a pop-off valve on it. That means if the water gets too hot or it gets under too much pressure, that it'll pop off. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people in America popping off right now, right there. They're popping off at the mouth. And that's what we're going to see in the book of Nehemiah, the indignation that is in the heart and in the life of a man by the name of Sanballat and Gershom and Tobiah. And we want to look at it scripturally today. And it's 20 minutes till 12. How many can give me the quarter after? You think you can do that? I think I can cover it if you'll give me the quarter after. You say, what are you going to do if you don't? Well, on the football team, if they don't succeed in three downs, they just go ahead and punt. Amen. And I'll give it to the other team for tonight. Amen. I appreciate you being here. The text in Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse 1, but, that's always a hinge. You remember in chapter number 3, they were working together, next unto him, next unto him, next unto them. They were getting the job done. That but sticks out here. It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. I didn't take the time to look it up, but guessing, my estimate would be that a big fox, I said a big fox, he's mostly hair. He's probably not going to weigh over 20 pounds. A big fox, most of them are lighter than that. Can you imagine the mockery that's going on? They're building a wall out of stone. And they're saying, well, if a fox was to run into that, it would knock it down. I'm telling you, beloved, they're upset. They're mad. They're really mad. Right here in the scripture. We want to look at this great indignation. We should not be surprised. We should not be surprised. Amen. Whenever God's people are trying to do what's right, And a nation is trying to do what's right. I didn't say doing what's right, but there's some effort that we're trying in some areas to do what's right. Then it's no wonder that there are people cursing, that there are people, amen. How many's with me? Now listen to me. You can look at two weekends and look at two different rallies in Washington, D.C., and I know which one of them I belong in. Somebody help me this morning. You say, preacher, you're getting political. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you there's sanity and then there's insanity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good day, for this good book. And I pray, dear Father, in Jesus' precious name, you'd help us to glean from this passage of Scripture this morning. Help us to realize, Lord, that we're going to have opposition till Jesus gets here and he rules with a rod of iron. And I pray, Father, that until then you'll help us to do what's right, to live in a manner that be pleasing unto thee, to do all that we can to reach the lost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I thought it would be interesting to look up Sanballat's name. And so I did. And his name means a bramble bush to start with. And it also means enemy in secret. You know, last week our president, he called the extreme area of the Muslim faith. He called those extremists that are trying to kill us and kill people around the world that think they're the only ones that should exist in the world. He called them dirty, rotten rats. He said they hide. In other words, Sanballat's name fits perfect, the enemy in secret. He said they don't fly, put on a uniform and identify themselves. They go in secret and destroy people's lives and do mayhem. The bramble bush here, Sanballat, thorny, a prickly bush. And he is a thorn in Nehemiah's side. Let me just say this morning. If you think you're going to live for God and do what's right without a thorn in your side, you're wrong. Amen. The enemy will see to it that there's a thorn. I want to look at three simple thoughts this morning. The reason for the indignation, the result of their indignation, and then Nehemiah's response to their indignation. This indignation is great anger. They're upset. And if you look at chapter 2 and verse number 10, I've not read the only text concerning this, but in chapter 2, verse number 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly. They were come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Look at verse number 19. The Bible said, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing? What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? I read in your hearing already chapter 4, verse 1. Now look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Here's what I want to give you, beloved. All four of these verses, the reason for their indignation was because of what they heard. They heard that the people of God had rose up to rebuild that had been torn down. Are you listening to me? And I'm telling you, there's some people in our country mad today, really mad, really upset, great indignation because of what they're hearing. Amen. Are you listening to me? They're hearing that you know, there's maybe some decisions that go back before the Supreme Court.
They're hearing that perhaps someone that's conservative and wants to stick to the Constitution would be appointed as a justice in the Supreme Court. And thereby, some things might be reversed. And they're upset about it. Amen. Listen, every time God's people have something to be glad over, the enemy has something to be mad over. You can mark that down. In the Bible, that's what we're seeing. There's great indignation. I believe, somebody said, well, we're a nation of immigrants. Let me give you something to think about. Yes, we are. But do you understand that for years and years and years, when you immigrated to America, you had to make your own way, that you had to risk your own life, and that many people didn't even make it to the shore, and many that did make it to the shore never got to make a home because, beloved, listen, they didn't come in and somebody handed them food stamps and somebody handed them something to buy gas with and somebody handed them a place to live. How many's with me this morning? Listen, they're people that are upset because, listen, they're fearful that maybe the handout might be cut off one day after a while. Let me tell you something right now. I believe in helping people. I believe America is a compassionate nation. But I believe with all of my heart, anything has the ability to get out of balance. And when you're standing up publicly and saying that a nation has no right to have a border, you've lost your mind. Every nation in the world has a border, and borders mean something. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, they were mad, but they're mad today. When the vice president got up and he said at that right for life, to life, that March for Life rally, he said, "Life is winning." Let me just say this to you: you may not understand this. But the vice president, he didn't wait till he was elected vice president. He's been participating in this march for years and years and years. It's not something politically to help him. It's something he believes in his heart. Amen. Beloved, that ought to help us this morning to understand that, listen, somebody's going to get mad every time somebody takes a stand with this book and for what's right. Somebody's going to get mad. But yet, if you talk even to Christian people, some are backing up and they're fearful. Let me just say this to you. Perfect love casteth out fear. You just stand for what's right. Let the chips fall where they may. Say amen. There's a lot better men in this world than this preacher that have died for the cause of Christ and would not back up on the principles of God's precious word. There's a reason for the indignation. Oh, beloved friend, they're upset. What's the result of their indignation? In chapter number 2 and verse number 10, they're mad, and the Bible said it grieved them exceedingly. If you'll understand, there are people that when they don't have their way, you know what I mean? They're very, very grieved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There have been times when I've been grieved. God's people ought to be grieved when unrighteousness is having its way. Whether it's in our home, whether it's in the house of God, whether it's in the country that we live in, God's people ought to be grieved when the Holy Ghost of God is grieved. They ought to be. But here, they're grieved. The enemy is grieved because of things that are being done in Jerusalem. The wall is being built. There's a man that's fasted, a man that's prayed, a man that's went before the king, a man that the king said, whatever you need, we'll get it to you. Amen. He saw the countenance. He saw that Nehemiah was the real deal. He wasn't a fly by night. He had been praying for months and talking to the God of heaven. And it grieved the enemy. It grieved the enemy. The Bible said then in chapter 2 and verse number 19, what was the result of their indignation? In chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Bible said they laughed them to scorn. They despised them. Look at verse number 19. When they heard it, they laughed us to scorn and they despised us. And they said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? You know what I believe? I believe that we're not in the majority in America. But I do believe there are some people in America that still believe Jesus is king. And I tell you what, beloved, God's people do not want to rebel against their king. Amen. Jesus is Lord this morning. And the Bible said here, they laughed them to scorn. Did you know today they despise them? Did you know today that I believe in a lot of circles? Listen, you can't hardly turn the television on. They're laughing at God's people. They're laughing. And they scorn. They laugh them to scorn. And they despise them. How many's figured that out already? I'm going to tell you something right now. Just listen to me carefully. If the news media is not careful, they're going to destroy themselves. Because they have on a set of eyes that only see one way. And they cannot see that there is a people in America that still believe that this book has a place in our nation. They can't believe that. They can't see that. The Bible said they laughed them to scorn. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1. Look at the result. The Bible said when they heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. Beloved, you can mark down what I'm saying. The people in our country that are in the limelight right now, that take a stand for anything, will be mocked. They're being mocked, and they will be mocked. It's amazing to me when I look, you say, preacher, I want to see our country great. Let me just say this, we may or we may not see our country great. But we will see great indignation on the way. You can mark that down. People are upset. I know this. There's some of those, sometimes people think, well, preacher, you're being hard on them young people when you tell them stay away from that rock music crowd. Let me just say this to you. Do a little bit of research and see what's coming out of their mouth. They need a bar of soap like Mama used to do. Say amen. They got a potty mouth. Terrible things that's coming out of people's mouths. Hearing the word of God, they mocked the Jews. In chapter number 6, what happened as a result of their indignation? The word of God said that they came along to Nehemiah and they tried to get him to come down. They sent messengers. Let me just say this to you. Please listen to me right here. I'm not trying to pick a fight. But it looks to me like, Brother Steve, as I studied this, that Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom have a little bit of chicken blood in them. If I was that mad, I wouldn't send a messenger. I'd go over to that wall and I'd say, Nehemiah, you sorry, no good, low down scum of the earth. Come down here and talk to me. Amen. What'd they do? They sent messengers and said, come down. Then later they wrote him a letter. Amen. One of the reasons, listen to me carefully, one of the reasons we're in the shape we're in this country is a lack of spine, a lack of backbone. We've got parents today that are afraid to correct their children. Because of social services. Let me just say this. I'm not preaching against social services, but if you spoil the rod, you'll ruin that youngin. You say, preacher, you don't know that. No, but God did, so he wrote in the book. So a preacher didn't have to just say it. He could just read what God said. They need to be corrected. Just like God's youngins need to be corrected. God said, if you're without chastisement, you don't even belong to him. Beloved friend, the result here, they tried to get him to come down. They said, come down, Nehemiah. You're going to like this. Come down, Nehemiah. Let's talk about it. But Nehemiah wasn't a man of talk. He was a man of action. I told you you'd like that. Let me tell you something about a great leader. A great leader will roll up his sleeves and go to work alongside of the people. Nehemiah wasn't standing down there saying, you do this, and you do this, and you do this. Nehemiah's right in there with them. Oh, dear God, give us some Nehemiahs in America that will not come down, that will say, listen, I'm doing a great work. Why should the work cease? Why should the work stop while I come down and talk to you? Oh, beloved friend, I'm just telling you, there's great indignation in the book of Nehemiah. Anything that's going to be made great is going to be faced with great indignation. I've been talking to some of the parents. Listen to me carefully. Listen, I'm not fussing, but I've been talking to some of the parents. There was a time, and it hadn't been too many years ago, when even a public school didn't schedule anything on Wednesday night. How many's with me? They knew Wednesday night was prayer meeting. You didn't have to worry about a basketball game or a baseball game or anything else. I went to Wise, Virginia, and my children were athletic, and they wanted them to play basketball in a basketball league. And Jeremy and Amanda were real small, maybe second, third grade, something like that. They enjoyed it. We wanted them to enjoy it. I talked to them. They said, listen, we need your kids in this league. We need your kids in this league. I said, well, you can have them. But I said, you need to understand something. On Wednesday night, they're not available. And if we're in revival meeting, they're not available. Oh, they said, okay, that won't be any problem. And it wasn't until they scheduled something on Wednesday night. Oh, listen, we got to have them. I said, we talked about this up front. We got to have them. Let me tell you something right now. Listen, this is not popular, what I'm about to say. But when Jesus becomes first in our homes again, in our lives again, in our churches again, there will be a hope for revival in this land. But as long as he's getting leftovers, leftover money, leftover time, leftover dedication, listen, we'll never see a revival in this country. God's not in the business of leftovers. God's in the business of first fruits. How many believes that? Say amen. Amen. Here, come on down, Nehemiah. Let's talk about it. No, I can't do that. Now let's go on. We're doing real good this morning. Real good. We've looked at the reason for the indignation. By the way, let me just give you this. Let me plug this in right here. They're mad. They're really mad. I read this. I thought it was good. A person who is angry on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right moment, for the right length of time, deserves great praise. The Bible did say, be angry and sin not. So I just wanted to stop and say, there's something taught in the Word of God called righteous anger. Let me read that phrase again. Somebody tell me who comes to your mind. A person who is angry on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right time, for the right length of time, deserves great praise. Who came to your mind? Anybody? Tell me. Talk to me. Did anybody come to your mind? Who came to your mind, Brother Steve? Jesus in the temple, throwing tables over, made a scourge of small cords. He drove them out of the temple. Honey, listen, what's going on in the book of Nehemiah is not righteous anger. It's fleshly anger because righteousness is raising up in their midst. There is such a thing as righteous anger. There is. Abraham Lincoln, his Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, was angered by an army officer who accused him of favoritism. Stanton complained to Lincoln, who suggested that Stanton write the officer a sharp letter. Stanton did. And he showed the strongly worded letter to the president. What are you going to do with it? Lincoln inquired. This surprised Edwin Stanton replied, I'm going to send it. Lincoln shook his head. He said, you don't want to send that letter. He said, put it in the stove. He said, that's what I do when I've written a letter while I'm angry. He said, it's a good letter, and you had a good time writing it, and now you feel better. He said, now burn it and write another one. You know what Lincoln was doing? He was keeping him from exercising unrighteous anger. Beloved, that would help us, amen. Just sit down and write a letter, then put it in the stove and burn it, amen. Beloved friend, listen, there's great indignation. Let's look at the response to their indignation, and we'll be finished. The response to their indignation. First of all, in chapter number 2, if you go back to 11, verse 11, how did Nehemiah respond? He said, I came to Jerusalem. I was there 3 days. I rose in the night, me and a few men with me. He went down and he looks at the gates. But then look at verse number 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the good hand of my God, which was good upon me, is also the king's word that had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. How did Nehemiah respond? Number one, he challenged the people of God. If you haven't got hold of it yet, you will. Between now and May, my heart is going to be to challenge the people of God to get involved in what God wants to do in that area for God's glory. Amen. He challenged them. He said, let us rise up and build. Amen. Didn't bother him, did it? That Sanballat was grieved. The thorn in his side was not sticking in deep enough to change his heart. His heart was still for God, for God's people, for God's presence, for God's place at Jerusalem. Amen. Then secondly, if you look over here at chapter 2 and verse number 20, you remember in verse number 19, they laughed at us. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're standing for what's right and somebody laughs at you, that's not easy. Say whatever you want to. When my children didn't get to go play that game, and then when they go back to practice and people are laughing at them, say what you want to. That's not easy. Amen. But look what Nehemiah's response is. Look at verse number 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we as servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Number one, he challenged God's people. Number two, he had faith in God. Amen. He believed God could get the job done. He believed, listen, they were going to build not because they wanted to build. They were going to build because God wanted them to build. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Difference in coming up on this hill and saying, I'm going to start a church because I want to start a church. And coming up on this hill and saying, we're going to start a church because God wants us to start a church. There's a difference. Nehemiah said, we're going to build the wall because that's what God. You say, preacher, how did he know what God wanted him to do? He had been praying for months and seeking God's face. And he knew what God wanted him to do. There are people sitting in this auditorium today. I'm not trying to be mean, but you have no idea what God wants you to do. And you never will know what God wants you to do unless you get serious about seeking his face. Seek his face. There are people that are saved, washed in that blood, Brother Ralph, and live and die and never discover the perfect will of God for their life. We ought to pray about every home. We ought to pray about every vehicle. We ought to pray about every job. We ought to pray about everything in our life. And it ought to be dedicated to the God that bought it with his own precious blood. Nehemiah had faith in God. He challenged God's people. Look at chapter 4, verse number 4. You come down through there, he mocked the Jews. What? If a fox was to run into that, it would tear it down. What do you do in chapter number 4? Somebody wrap it up in one word. I'm sorry, verse number 4. Chapter number 4, verse number 4. Somebody wrap it up in one word. What do you do? What'd he do? Somebody holler at me. He prayed. He went to God in prayer. He didn't say, come on down here, Sanballat. We'll see. That's what my daddy said years ago. I was on one side of the street. There's a young man calling me names on the other side of the street. Then he started in calling my mama names and my daddy names. Daddy didn't want me to fight. But I tell you what, something in daddy's blood, when he got to getting on mama, that wasn't good. He said, get him, son. And I got him. He's a lot bigger than I was, but he is slow. He's clumsy. I took advantage of that. And I put a pretty good whooping on him. I don't say that boastfully. It needed to happen. Here come his mama. Run up in our driveway. I want you to know, when my husband gets home, he'll be down here to see you. Daddy just had a few little words. He said, send him on, honey. He said, I'll give him a dose of the same thing. That's not what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah didn't say, bring it on. You know what Nehemiah did? He took it to God in prayer. Honey, we can learn from Nehemiah about what to do when the opposition raises its head in our lives. When the indignation comes, we need to keep our hands off of it. Take it to the one who can do something about it in prayer. And then if you look at chapter number 6, what did he do in response to the indignation? What did Nehemiah do? What's he going to tell us here in chapter number 6? If you come on down here, the Bible said, I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Bob, you manage. You know that when you have people under you, that in a sense, the work is not going to cease if you stop and you go for a meeting or you go to the office or you go to talk to somebody. The work is going to go right on. But you know what Nehemiah is saying right here if you look at it? Nehemiah understood not the little picture that Sanballat was up to about just getting the work right now for a moment to cease. That's not what he was after. He wanted the work, Brother Kevin, to stop for good. He wanted to do everything in his power. Honey, the church of Jesus Christ is marching on. It's built on a solid rock. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. But the enemy, the indignation, has been trying to stop her ever since she came into existence. Beloved friend, Nehemiah. You say, preacher, what was his response? Well, he just kept on keeping on. He just kept on keeping on. He realized when he said, why should the work cease? I'm personally involved in this work. At least a portion of it's going to cease. But he saw the big picture that the enemy doesn't want to just stop a portion of what's going on at Bible Way. The enemy doesn't want to just stop a portion of what's going on in the Tri-Cities. The enemy doesn't just want to stop a portion of what's going on in America. Honey, the enemy wants to shut the church of the living God down in this country. That's what the enemy wants to do. He is, Brother Ralph, and he's going to continue to. He helped Nehemiah, and he's helping us. And he'll continue to help us. Watch this now. I want you to notice the reply in verse number 3 and 4. Then he said that they sent to me 4 times after this sort. So Nehemiah didn't just get this message once. He gets it 4 times. They sent messengers. Come down. Let us talk. In the plain of, oh no. I say this kindly as a pun, but Nehemiah's response is, oh no, and oh no. Uh-uh. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me, young people. If a devil can just get you to talking to him about it, he's won a great victory. If he can just get you starting to reason it out in your mind, why, you know, after all, if it's so bad, why would so-and-so be doing it? Or why would so many be doing it? We need to let the Word of God be our checks and balances. We don't need to be talking with the enemy. The enemy's a deceiver. By the way, if you don't believe what I just said, go ask Eve. How many believes that maybe if Eve had it to do over again, she'd have just said to the enemy, I don't have time for you. I got too much to do in this garden. I'm not listening to you. He's a deceiver. He wants to deceive and to kill and to destroy. We notice his reply. Notice Nehemiah's rebuke. Look at verse number 8. Then I sent unto him saying, there are no such thing in the letter here. Let me back up just a minute. There was a letter written. It said in verse number 6, it's reported among the heathen. And Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. And now, shall it be reported to the king according to these words? Come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. Look at the rebuke in verse number 8. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest. How many figured out in the last week and a half, that there are a lot of lies being told? How many's figured it out? Let me just give you this real quickly. Watch this. There's a picture of the crowd when the former president was inaugurated. And then there's a picture of the crowd when this president was inaugurated. That's all on the front page because there's big white spots, empty spots. That's what I should say. They appear white in the picture, but there's big empty spots. And then when it's all said and done, they figure out that the picture was taken 3 hours before the inauguration. But when CNN apologizes for it, God help us. God help us. Help us. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that here's a man that responded and said, you're lying. What you're saying is not true. Thank God for men like that. Thank God for Nehemiah. One more thing and I'm done. I want you to notice Nehemiah's resource now. The Bible said here, glory to God, I'm excited about this. Look at verse 9. For they all made us afraid. Is that not what the enemy wants to do? They all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. I told you a while ago what they said. They don't want the work done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Here's what I'm so excited about. Nehemiah started off knowing that if God didn't strengthen his hands, he couldn't do anything. Let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully right here. God will help us. Sometimes we get going down the road for Jesus and we forget, Brother Brian, if he doesn't strengthen our hands, not just in the beginning, but along the way, we'll not finish the work that God has given us to do. I taught this truth not long ago in this church. Not many people are going to remember how you started. Not many people are going to remember February the 22nd, 1987, when Brother Vinoy was born again at Landmark Baptist Church. But since then, I've literally met tens of thousands the people. And if I don't finish right, you can mark this down. They'll remember. So I want to stand publicly this morning say to my God, strengthen my hands, Lord. Strengthen my heart, Lord. I don't want to be one that just started right. I want to be one that finishes right for the glory of God Almighty. Beloved friend, this morning, there's great indignation. Great indignation in the book of Nehemiah and in our land. How many's figured this out? Listen to me carefully. We live in East Tennessee. I used to live in Southwest Virginia. And I call this God's country. What I mean by that is we're kind of sheltered from a lot of things. How many knows what I just said? But here's something I figured out in life. I'm not real smart. Brother Kevin, that's this. What's going on in them big cities now? They'll be out here in the country for long. So many times when you watch the news and it's in that big city and you say, well, that's in that big city. I mean, who would have ever thought out here in the country that we'd have hot spots with the drugs, hot spots with the sodomy, hot spots with the prostitution? Who would have ever thought that'd be going on out here in the country, so to speak? You say, preacher, I don't know why you said that. Mark this down. Please mark this down. If we don't have revival in our land, that great indignation that's being displayed in the city, turn around about three times and it'll be being displayed right here in the country too. It sure will. Let's do like Nehemiah. Let's respond right. Let's take it to the God of heaven. Let's realize it's coming. You can encourage people to bow their head and pray over their meal, whether it's in a school cafeteria, whether it's at work, whether it's in the break room, whether it's in a restaurant. And I tell you why a lot of people won't do it. It's because they know the great indignation is all around them. I remember a story years ago, and I'm done this morning. A man, he'd been saved not long at all, excited, serving the Lord. His family were down at that time it was Silver Dollar City. It was before it turned into Dollywood. They went in, Brother Tim, down there, and they got under one of them barbecue shack, one of them little old huts down there. And they sat down, and there was people all around, kind of, and they looked at each other. They knew what they did at home, but they looked at each other, and they just started eating. As God would have it, he had a family to come in and sit down just across the table from him. They reached their hands up on the table and held hands. Bowed their heads. Thank God for their food. He told us at church how that God smote his heart. He said, God being my helper, I'll never be guilty of that again. We don't need to worry about their great indignation. The Bible didn't say looking unto their indignation. The Bible said looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the story of Nehemiah. Lord, I know that if you are going to make a great church, a great nation, a great home, if you're making anything great, there'll be an enemy in secret. There'll be a bramble bush, a thorn in the side. And Lord, today, help us not to be shocked, not to be surprised, but help us to determine God in our hearts. That, Lord, whatever your word teaches us, that, Lord, that's what we want to follow.
Help us today, Lord, in this invitation, in our hearts, to say we will arise and build. Lord, I don't find any place that's neutral for the children of God. Lord, you said either we're gathering into the sheepfold or we're scattering abroad. Thank you for men like Nehemiah that were gathering in, that would roll up their sleeves and work. Thank you, Lord, for our church, for our people. May you lay a challenge at our hearts this morning, God, that we'd be involved in your great work in these days. Not just to be a spectator, but Lord, to do like Mary what we can.